Welcome to the Pet Cancer Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Susan Ettinger from the Animal Specialty Center in Yonkers, New York, a board-certified oncologist who treats dogs and cats with cancer. Dr. Sue's motto is see something, do something, so that cancer can be found early when it is still a treatable disease. The Pet Cancer Vet is a production of Eight Paws LLC and Dr. Sue Cancer Vet PLLC, which are solely responsible for its content. To hear more episodes of this show and other Pet Talk radio shows I co-host with top veterinarians and pet experts, please go to RadioPetLady.com. Dr. Sue and I both look forward to seeing you October 2nd and 3rd in New York City at the Dog Film Festival. Go to www.dogfilmfestival.com. The Pet Cancer Vet is brought to you by Best Pet RX, a unique compounding pharmacy for pets that can turn any medication for dogs and cats into a custom flavored oral paste, chewable tablet, or a liquid that your pet will actually like. And Best Pet RX will keep trying formulations at no extra charge until your pet will happily take the medicine she needs to get well and stay well. Support for this show also comes from Nordic Naturals, omega-3 fish oil with the same premium quality products for people and their pets. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses responsibly sourced healthy wild fish and uses third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness in their oils, and also offers vegetarian and vegan versions of the all-important omega-3 fatty acids. Put Pet Radio 13 in the code box for 15% off and free shipping every time you shop. Good evening, Dr. Sue. We have a very interesting and sort of happy cancer patient tonight to join us because his German Shepherd dog, Levi, 5.5 years old, has T-cell lymphoma and is in complete remission. So complete remission. How joyful are we to hear those words? Alan, welcome to Pet Cancer Vet. And here's Dr. Sue Ettinger, who has been using the new monoclonal antibody MAB that is a brand new cutting edge, state of the art new treatment. And Dr. Sue, you must be kind of thrilled to have a guy that's already in remission who might be a good candidate. Or maybe you aren't a candidate if you're already in remission. Tell us a little about this monoclonal antibody.
So it is a brand new therapy. So rituximab is a similar medication that's used for human B-cell lymphoma. And that was a big question during my residency in early 2000, because everybody wanted to know, could you use that medication for dog lymphoma? And at that point, the answer was no, you can't use a human monoclonal antibody to turn on the immune system and attack these cancer cells. You can't use a human version in dogs. So, and it's really been revolutionary in human lymphoma in, you know, increasing remission rates and survival time. So we've sort of been waiting patiently, hoping that we would get something. And in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of development. There's a B-cell one and a T-cell one, which are just starting to come to market, which have gone through clinical trials. So it's really exciting. And my practice, we don't have the B-cell one yet available, but we just got the T-cell one. So it's for T-cell lymphoma dogs, and literally just got it 2 weeks ago as part of a clinical experience program. So they're just starting to roll it out. Not every oncologist actually has it yet, but they're going to increase that in the upcoming months.
Well, Alan, welcome to the show from Coral Springs, Florida, where the Coral Springs Animal Hospital and what seems to be the most wonderful Dr. Alvarez, your oncologist, have gotten Levi in complete remission. You had two CHOP treatments that are continuing, and now you're wondering, Is this new treatment appropriate for Levi, right?
Well, first off, thanks for having me. I really appreciate you inviting me here as a guest. It's a pleasure to talk with both of you. Yeah, actually, I'm really excited that there isn't this option for treatment. I'm more excited over the fact that he finally reached remission, which happened pretty quickly. But at 5.5 years old, I got to tell you, it's a pretty devastating diagnosis.
Because he's still a young guy.
Exactly.
I mean, and that's what's so heartbreaking.
Exactly. He's young. He's very active. He's, to be quite honest with you, he was probably, he's the dog I probably always ever wanted because he's so well balanced. I imported him from Germany.
Really? Why did you do that? Because you love German Shepherds and weren't comfortable with where the breed was going in America?
That was part of it. And the other part of it, it was I wanted a dog that had true working ability and a with the looks as well. So I wanted to have that combination of, you know, I'm in my 50s now. I've always had German Shepherds since I'm a kid. I sort of the version of the breeding. Early on, I saw the way the American lines were going one way and the European lines were going kind of like another way. And I also noticed that, you know, most of the people in active law enforcement and search and rescue and other venues and sports and things like that generally use imported dogs.
That's right.
And that's because of the fact that they breed to a different standard.
That's right.
We can do it here, but for some reason we don't.
Yeah, we call that the German Shepherds. I mean,
oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of the police dogs, exactly what you're saying, a lot of the dogs that are used in law enforcement and things like that come directly from Germany. So
actually,
the purists will go there.
It's actually Eastern Europe now, not Germany so much. Isn't that right? I don't know where where Levi came from, but the law enforcement ones are all being bred in Eastern Europe.
Yeah. It varies. I mean, you know, obviously the European has the other standard. They have a more stringent standard. They actually look for the working ability in the dogs in order to be able to allow them to breed.
Was there something that you wanted Levi to do that you wanted that, or you just wanted a dog that in your mind would be that physically healthier, mentally more balanced dog?
I wanted the mentally balanced dog, but I also wanted a dog that can watch the kids. Now, you can get lucky in an American Lion breed. Obviously, they come from, you know, way back. They come from the same, you know, genetics, but they were diluted because they started looking more towards the fancy walk and the fancy run no concentration or working ability whatsoever.
When you say watch the kids, you mean like a shepherd, like shepherding your children, guarding them, but really keeping an eye on them.
Just a dog, a great family dog, but that also has that ability to, you know, to do what he needs to do if it should ever need to, you know?
Well, what's curious to me is that I think that one of our complaints about some breeds in America is that from various kinds of inbreeding, which happens in any purebred breeding where you want a longer tail, shorter ears, whatever the heck the thing is that becomes a kind of trendy or fad or popular, is that inbreeding or line breeding may be part of the move towards so much cancer. Certainly in golden retrievers, I think it's perhaps responsible for it. How ironic that you get this German Shepherd from this not inbred line, whether it was Germany or Eastern Europe. Sue, what are your thoughts about such a young German Shepherd getting cancer? They're not very, very high on the cancer risk scale, are they? I mean, you've got your Boxers, your Rotties, your
no,
Goldens.
No, Shepherds, unfortunately, are a breed. They're definitely, unfortunately, one of also the top breeds for hemangiosarcoma, so that malignant blood vessel cancer in the spleen. They are, unfortunately, overrepresented in many cancers. And lymphoma is one of the cancers that we as cancer specialists will say does not discriminate by age. So most cancer is a disease of age. Age, right? So it's middle-aged and older dogs.
Right.
But we see lymphoma in young dogs as well, so a couple of years old. In some studies, dogs that get it when they're younger, it's a negative thing, so they typically don't do as well. And that's thought that maybe there is a genetic, a gene dysfunction that has led to the cancer. But the other thing, and this is a hard thing because I'm a large dog lady as well, and you are too, Tracy. We
yes.
tend to like the larger breed dogs. Is five is not, you know, is middle
age. It's not so young anymore.
I mean, there are shepherds that live to 10, you know, 12 years, but, you know, five in you know, for a shepherd is not as young as we
think it
is.
It feels young.
It feels young
to me. It feels younger than springtime.
And it hurts even more to see it in a five-year-old dog than a 10-year-old dog. Whenever, you know, I've had cancer in two-year-old dogs, it stings a little bit more. It really does.
You're right.
And my Rottie was
100%.
Yeah, and my Rottie was 6. And to me, I don't know about Levi, but Yogi Bear's personality, he could easily have been 1. He was, you know, at 6, he was still so mentally youthful and up for any kind of fun. We're going to take a quick break before we come back and talk more about this monoclonal antibody and the really cool little video that Dr. Sue put up on Facebook that has like 60, 70-something thousand views. That's pretty cool. When we come back, I just want you to remind us again, because we've done shows about it in the past, the difference between T-cell and B-cell lymphoma, because it's good for us all to remember in case we wind up like Alan being told it's one or the other. We have to know, did we get dealt the bad card or the not-so-bad card? We'll be right back after a quick break. The Radio Pet Lady Network is supported by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals, and their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pet's dinner. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. This show is also brought to you by Canine Active, a safe, non-toxic pain reliever made in America of naturally occurring amino acids and homeopathic compounds, known to provide pain relief and improve quality of life for dogs who are in pain. The innovative formula in Canine Active gives pain relief for the canine members of the family without the side effects and risks of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Canine Active, proven safe and a proven pain reliever. We are back with Alan in Coral Springs, Florida, and his lovely German Shepherd, Levi. Dr. Sue, T-cell lymphoma, is that the really bad one?
So, unfortunately, T-cell tends to be more resistant to chemotherapy than B-cell. So we always, the way that we help interns remember is we say B is better.
Okay.
But I have had T-cell dogs, you know, way do better than some of my B-cell dogs. So no statistic will predict an individual. But when you look at a group of dogs, in general, the B-cell dogs have higher remission rates. So they go into remission at a greater percentage. They usually have longer survival times than dogs with T-cell lymphoma. So that's actually also been one of the very exciting things about having this new therapy to add to the chemotherapy protocol for dogs with T-cell lymphoma.
And yet we have Levi, who is a great example to everybody that if you get diagnosed with a horrible version of a horrible disease, after two treatments, he's in remission and still continuing that treatment. And now he could, after this conversation and conversations with Dr. Alvarez, Alan will decide whether to add the other treatment. But Alan, were you given any belief that you could get complete remission after only two CHOP treatments, which continue now?
Let me be perfectly honest with you. It was the most depressing moment I think I've ever had in all the time I've ever owned a dog. At 5.5 years old, no, I was led to believe that this was the chances were not good.
Yes,
he was not going to survive. You know, with certainly without treatment, any substantial length of time at all. The doctor actually, interestingly enough, the oncologist actually went from being completely just pessimistic,
right,
about the whole outlook on the whole disease, and from walking in after the second treatment, sitting me down with the biggest smile on his face, and with an associate vet that was actually training at the hospital, because they do a lot of internships over there at the hospital as well. And they were just smiling ear to ear.
He
goes, I can't tell you. He goes, this is the most amazing turnaround. He goes, one of the most amazing turnarounds I've seen.
Well, I have to say that I'm really happy for you, and it's so wonderful to have somebody join us on the show who isn't at that horrible moment where they've gotten the worst news of their life. They can't see the sun for the clouds. No one's telling them there's going to be a sunny day. And for you to have made the decision to do the treatment regardless, because throw the dice, see what happens, and you find a dog who is in remission. Everyone needs to hear that. I mean, Dr. Sue says it's a treatable disease. It's treatable. And if the dice fall properly, you win. You win. I mean, it takes work. You continue with the treatments. You continue thinking about it. You pay attention to all the other lifestyle things that probably just make you feel good, when really it was the chemotherapy. that put him in complete remission. So, Dr. Sue, who are the candidates for this new monoclonal antibody? Are they the ones who are these miracle poster childs like Levi who get complete remission?
So ideally, you want to add, this is not to replace chemotherapy.
Right.
You want to add it to the chemotherapy protocol. And they have they've done some clinical trials. There's still limited data on how much it will increase survival, so what the efficacy is. But one thing that we can say, which is really nice about this, is that it's very well tolerated. So there's very little, if any, side effects to this. In the B cell version for dogs, so the one that you can use for B cell lymphomas, and in humans, people and dogs will often experience like an allergic reaction, so a hypersensitivity reaction. They really have not seen that in dogs with the T cell one in the trials that they've done so far. So ideally, you would want to start it, and you know, if the owner had the means, you would want to start it with chemotherapy. For Bear, the case that I posted on Facebook, so he was a T cell dog that I'd been treating for 10 months that was pretty much resistant to everything. So he had, you know, gone into remission, he had relapsed, and we had tried some different protocols. And so I was on, you know, one of what we call a rescue protocol. I knew that we had gotten approved to start carrying it, but I had to go through the final training. And literally after the training at 5 o'clock in the evening, I said to my rep, I said, when can I order it? He said, today. And I said, I'm ordering it today. And I called Bear's owners, and we got him in the following Monday. You know, to be honest, so for Bear, we just euthanized him last week, and it was, and not to be depressing, but, you know, for Bear, I think, unfortunately, it was too late. His cancer was really far advanced by the time that we started the treatment. He only got one treatment. So I think it's really important to get it started earlier in the course of therapy so you can really get the immune system to start attacking these cancer cells.
So in the case of Levi, his own immune system is handling the chemo of the CHOP treatment really well. So now, in your opinion and what you've experienced and read, now let's get this on board right away.
Right. So what chemo does is it kills rapidly dividing cells, which are our cancer cells. And it's indiscriminate in the rapidly dividing cells that it kills. That's why you tend to get GI side effects. So vomiting, diarrhea, loss of appetite, because our intestinal tract cells are constantly dividing. It's why you get low white blood cell counts, because our white blood cell counts are constantly dividing. And in people, more so than dogs, they lose their hair because our hair is constantly growing and those cells are dividing. So the side effects that you see from chemotherapy are sort of the innocent bystanders to rapidly dividing cells in our body. The monoclonal antibody targets a protein on T cell lymphoma cells. So it targets those proteins and basically will turn on the immune system to attack those cells. So it's another way of identifying the cancerous cells and killing them with a different mechanism than chemo. And from what we know in people, you want to combine chemotherapy with the monoclonal antibody.
So what does Dr. Alvarez say? Or has he got any experience with it yet at all, Alan?
He has no experience with it whatsoever. In fact, he was lucky enough to be accepted, I guess, by the manufacturer to actually be able to have access to the drug. So he says, this is great. He was a little bit worried about toxicity. He had some concerns about toxicity. And, you know, as did I, and that's why I think this is really an enlightening conversation that we're having right now, so that I have the opportunity to actually make a somewhat more educated decision than what I would have had to make before.
Well, Dr. Sue, I noticed in the video online, it was just like a little IV that you had in Bear's arm, and then you said, we're going to watch him carefully to see if he has an allergic reaction. Is that the only concern? In which case, you can medicate for that
right.
The dog gets some like breathing difficulty?
He didn't have any side effects whatsoever.
Right.
We did give him, and so the manufacturer says you can, if you want, pre-medicate with Benadryl. So doxorubicin, which is a chemotherapy drug that we use for lots of cancers, including lymphomas, pets can also have an allergic reaction, so it's not uncommon for them to get a dose of Benadryl before the treatment's given. So that's what I did for Bear, is we gave him Benadryl. And then if they have an allergic reaction, you can give them steroids. But like I said, it's really uncommon for them to have an allergic reaction. as I was telling my team of nurses, is why I was training, you know, passing on the information and training them in how to give, because it's always a little bit, you know, it is a little nerve wracking to give something new. I was telling them, in a lot of ways, we are very lucky, because some of the newer chemotherapy protocols in people and in dogs, animals can have really serious reactions as you're giving it, allergic reactions, vomiting, and things like that. So it was kind of nice to be able to say, this is a drug that seems really well tolerated. There's always a risk that any patient may have an unusual reaction, but it's not one that we're saying 40 to 50% of dogs are getting really sick on it. It's a right. very low incidence, which I think is very exciting. I'll be more excited as we get more efficacy data. The other thing about the protocols, it is pretty intense, and that's something that you will need to think about. It's twice a week for 4 weeks, and then you give it four more times at every 2 week interval. So they get 12 doses over the course of 12 weeks, and they have to go in twice a week to get it, in addition to their chemotherapy. So it's not, you know, a simple one-time injection. It's something that you're going to, you know, have to make a commitment to. And I don't mean you personally, Alan, but that a pet owner is going to need to make that commitment, and the financial commitment to, you know.
How harsh is the cost?
Well, right now they're doing a introductory offer program where they have discounted the price a little to as they roll it out, which I think is really nice. But, I actually don't remember. I want to say for Bayer, just the cost of the drug, not including my exam, or anything else that was getting run that day, is over probably $500-$600 per treatment. So this is not an inexpensive treatment. It's brand new. It's a very exciting treatment, but, you know, it's going to add significantly to the cost of treating a dog with lymphoma. So, you know, and that's always hard when a pet family has to make decisions for finances where they're paying out of pocket.
Unless they have health insurance.
Please, I knew that.
Please tell me you have pet insurance, Alan.
I actually have Pet Plan, and they've been fantastic.
Fantastic. Guys, you hear this? He can do whatever he wants because he has pet insurance, and they will pay a good percentage, depending on the plan he signed up for, 80-90% after a deductible. Is that the sort of plan you got, Alan?
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
So I can do, and
fantastic.
I did this purposely, because I knew, you know, if anything ever happened. Unfortunately, I was told by a veterinary internal medicine specialist years ago when with my previous dog, because we had issues with IBD or whatever, and she told me, she said, you know what? She goes, German Shepherds, you love that breed. I know you love the breed and everything like that. She goes, but they are notorious for everything and anything.
Yeah, it's tough. They are. They've got all, and I'm surprised that the German Shepherds come with the same package of woes. We're going to take another quick break when we come back. You had a couple of questions about alternative therapies and how much good those would do. But boy, if I was you, I'd be so grateful that your Dr. Alvarez can get this monoclonal antibody and take the training Sue did. It doesn't sound like it's very complicated. And you could just do it. And, you know, Pet Plan will go, oh, boy, here we go again. More bills, but that's okay. That's what we're here for. We're going to take
exactly.
a quick break. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you in part by Actify, a joint supplement for dogs made in America. My own 12-year-old dog, Jazzy, has been revitalized by Actify, and they have a money-back guarantee. Give your dog the soft chews for a month, and if you don't see a difference in mobility, playfulness, and activity level, they will refund your purchase price. You've got nothing to lose, and your dog has everything to gain. Go to Actify.com. That's ACTIVPHY.com. Put Radio Pet in the code box for $12 off. Buy two or more and get an extra 10% off. This show is also supported by WikiWags, male doggy diapers with a belly band that wraps around your boy dog's belly with a disposable absorbent pad. For male dogs of any size who have been peeing indoors, urine marking, excitability, incontinence, and house training issues, these are the problems WikiWags solves. WikiWags.com. That's WIKIWAGS.com, where you'll find the relief you've been looking for. So, Alan, you had another couple of questions for Dr. Sue, and we've talked on the show before about acupuncture and herbal medications and, you know, immune system, like in a kind of generalized, holistic way, treatments. But was there any, and we can talk about it for sure, but are there any other medical type questions that you might have that you might want to go back to Dr. Alvarez with? Sue, how long was that training? Was it really just a few hours?
Oh, I mean, I think it was an hour or so.
Yeah.
And it was just a conference call. And then I do, our rep is coming out to my practice. This is something that rescheduled a couple of times because of the snow in the Northeast. And there's some online webinar trainings and things like that, but it's pretty straightforward. I think for someone who is accustomed to giving chemotherapy, and trying new things, I don't think it's that difficult. I think you just want to, you know, get it. Some familiarity with, you know, the drug and some of the trials that have been done and things like that. But I don't think it's that complicated.
That's good. So if you say, let's do it, I mean, what is the downside? You've got a dog already responding so well to chemo, and to not piggyback something that would come at it from a different direction, but increase your chances of prolonged remission. What's the downside, given that the side effects at the worst are a kind of allergic reaction that the Benadryl sort of heads off at the pass?
I mean, I think minus the cost, and this is how I felt with Bear, you know, there's nothing to lose.
That's right.
It will be nice once we have more efficacy data, because you know, it may not help your dog, you know, and that would be, you know, very disappointing to, you know, put all the time and money and energy into getting your vet there, or to getting your pet to the vet, and then, you know, not see an improvement in it. But there's no guarantees, with or without it, how long they're going to do. And I also feel like for T-cell lymphoma, which is the tougher form, you know, all in, you know, if we have this great opportunity,
yes,
I would add it, especially for someone who has pet insurance or has the means to pay it. I don't think there's little downside except for the increase in time you have to get your pet to the vet, which is not insignificant.
Except for in his case, he's so darn lucky. It's just like practically, I'm exaggerating, but walking distance. There are people that come to you, Sue, that are driving 3 hours each direction.
That was by design.
It was. You moved to Florida and right near this fabulous hospital just in case. So you mm-hmm. jinxed yourself. Did you have any other medical type questions for Dr. Sue? When I say I mean versus holistic, which is medical in its own way.
Well, I do have one question, and I think this is probably not one that Dr. Sue's going to be able to really answer, obviously. But, I mean, but here goes anyway. What do you think the chances are that this will actually, I mean, basically the treatment is benign at this point. He's already in remission. So are we really accomplishing what are we really accomplishing by doing this? I mean, we're going at it from a different angle. What do we expect to gain from it? What have they verbalized or basically informed the medical community that this could potentially do for a
right.
situation?
Well, I mean, I'll just answer from a lay point of view, and then Dr. Sue can from a professional one. But you know that complete remission of any cancer means that there's no visible or measurable cancer right now. But the person or the dog with cancer still has cancer cells in their system,
right,
which at any moment could have a party. So
right.
you
and
have
so,
to keep banging away at them.
Exactly. And with lymphoma, when we say they're in remission, it's your vet feeling the lymph nodes, maybe sticking the needle in the lymph node. But, you know, now we're starting to get to the point where we're doing molecular tests. Tracy, I talked about that lymphoma
yes.
blood test that I'm now using as a monitoring. So, you know, again, I don't want to be the party pooper, but when your oncologist says they're in remission, that means the lymph nodes feel normal. They've gone back to normal. But we never, you know, it is uncommon to cure dogs with lymphoma. We essentially do not cure them, especially T-cell dogs. And you're killing most of the cancer cells, but they're going to keep proliferating. So, and the other thing with remission is that you can get a remission for a couple of weeks, but that doesn't mean that you're going to maintain that remission. So the remission's got to be durable. And so dogs with T-cell lymphoma statistically have shorter remissions. They tend to relapse, and their lymphoma tends to be more resistant. So I think you have a lot to gain by adding the monoclonal antibody, in my opinion. But again, you know, people are looking for the hot new therapy, right? What's new? What's hot? This is what's new and hot. The trade-off with what's new and what's hot is there's still limited data out there. We don't have all the answers for you yet. You know, we can rattle off a ton of statistics for chemotherapy for dogs with B and T cell lymphoma, but this is new. So we're still in the early stages. But for me, T cell lymphomas are tough. And I would strongly urge you to consider adding this to, you know, Levi's treatment.
I think that's a really
important.
That's my opinion. And that awesome. Was mine, too, and I forgot to go to vet school, you know. It's like the thing I think that's confusing to people dealing with cancer, be it human or pet, is remission seems like hallelujah, and it is great news. The cancer has been stopped for this moment at this point, but the body still has cancer circulating in it. And I think that when we hear about remission, even in humans, people say, well, 5 years out, you're considered, I don't even know, Sue, that they use the word cured, but cancer-free 5 years for most human kinds of cancer. Obviously, different lifespan for dogs and people, and, mm-hmm. and cancer acts somewhat differently, and chemo acts somewhat differently. But remission is great news, but it means that you've taken the first positive steps on what will be a continuing battle and journey. You don't get remission, finish your CHOP treatment, and think you're going to be celebrating Levi's old age and worrying about getting him around with wheels when he's 12. You're going to have to fight this thing like the devil, you know, you have to fight it to the mat. And this seems right. like a great extra tool to fight with.
Yeah, I mean, the way that they're really, you know, curing lymphomas in people, and we've started to do a little in dogs, is bone marrow transplants, you know, where you're giving them
yes.
crazy high doses of chemo, you're giving them total body irradiation, and then you're giving them a bone marrow transplant because you've wiped out every bone marrow cell in their body. That, you know, that, and those are the dogs that, in theory, will finish, you know, be done with chemotherapy and not need it anymore. But, you know, unfortunately, Levi will relapse with, you know, most likely, you know, never say never, never say always. But, you know, at some point, his cancer will relapse. And I think this will hopefully, you know, give him a better shot.
And also, Alan, because it is new and because the full data isn't in and the rest of the story hasn't even been written yet, he'll be part of that information that's there for doctors and for other owners. He might be the luckiest guy. This may be something. Is it something you can do twice a week for 4 weeks and then once a month, Sue, and then never again? Or could you, in theory, have some more?
Yes. So, in general, the basic protocol is twice a week for 4 weeks and every other week for four treatments. So that takes you out to 12 weeks or 3 months. And then it really varies. Would you give a maintenance one? It really depends on the individual case. Are they in remission and things like that? But those are all the things that we're still figuring out. They've come up with the starter, you know, the starter protocol or the basic protocol. You know, one injection is not going to do anything the way that you have to stimulate the immune system with this. But, you know, they're recommending at least the 12 injections over 12 weeks. And then, you know, there's some variation. And then hopefully we'll be learning more about it. But, you know, that's what they're considering the basic protocol.
So it seems, Alan, that you're at a good moment in time.
So it's all I mean, it is possible that some miracle can come out of this. I mean,
Yeah, it is, because nobody really knows how good this will be.
Exactly. And in people, the monoclonal antibodies have been really important in long-term survival for lymphomas. And so we're hoping, you know, as vet cancer specialists, because, you know, most oncologists say we hit a wall with lymphoma. And I always say it's survival of the fittest. You're going to kill the wimpiest cells, get your patient in remission, and you're, you know, those resistant cells eventually will come back, keep dividing. You change chemotherapy, you kill some of them again, but eventually you hit the wall where you run out of chemotherapy to kill these cancer cells. So what we're trying to do with this is, you know, prevent that wall. And
yes.
that's what we're really
yes.
trying to do.
To outwit it. So, Alan, I think that it's great that you've come with the question. It seems like it's such a happy story that you've come with Levi at exactly the moment when this not only is available, but your own doctor has access to it. And after a couple of hours of familiarizing himself, he can, in theory, give it to Levi next week kind of thing or whenever. So it seems that from that point of view, in a bad situation, you've got a lot of great things going on. You've got a great doctor near you. You've got pet insurance. The accessibility of the doctor and the product are right there. And you could have some kind of a miracle story. I mean, no one knows how great of an outcome this protocol will be for which dogs. And you'll be part of them learning that. Levi will help, you know, further that information, as does any dog or person taking a new chemo drug, right, Sue? I mean, they're part of the knowledge base that is in formation.
Exactly. Like I said, you always want good statistics when you're trying to make an informed decision. But when you're doing that quote unquote hot new therapy, it's going to be, it's the same things when Palladia was first released, and I was giving Palladia to, new dogs with mast cell tumors. I could tell them about the one study, but was that study going to predict how, Max was going to do? No, but at least, and we've gained more information. And so we'll gain more information to, be that pet parent making the decision early in a treatment's, journey is hard. But like I said, this one tends to be, tends to be really safe and I think is going to be really, really exciting. I hope I'm not wrong. I wouldn't want to, misguide you, Alan, or recommend the wrong thing for Levi. But I think when you're dealing with T-cell lymphoma, I was giddy with excitement when, I got this and thought that, hopefully I was going to be able to change Bear's course. And losing Bear was like losing one of my own patients. So it's not easy. And I think this is a really exciting option. And, I really hope that Levi just lives as long as he possibly can and feels great. Live longer, live well, right, Tracy?
Exactly. And it is treatable and you're doing everything right.
Everything.
And just keep it coming. We've run out of time, but we hope you'll stay in touch. And if Dr. Alvarez has any questions, I am sure that Dr. Sue is such a supporter of all other doctors, pet parents, and especially oncologists with her See Something, Do Something campaign that's about to roll out across the country. I'm sure she would be very happy to support him in his quest. And the other thing to tell people is that we have a brand new website for Radio Pet Lady Network. So go to radiopetlady.com and check out the gorgeous, easy to use, easy to listen, easy to download, delightful new looking website. So I hope everyone will have a chance to see that. Alan, we've got all of our paws crossed for Levi. It seems like all your stars are aligned as well as they possibly can be, and we wish you both enormous luck.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys' time to, jump in there and invite me to.
It's a pleasure being with you. You take care.
And please keep us updated.
Yes, because now we have an investment in Levi. We care. We're rooting for him. Okay.
I'm gonna do it. I mean, based on
Great.
What you're telling me, I'm gonna do it. I got nothing to lose.
Super. And send us a photo if you can, so that we can post that when we post the podcast. We want to see your handsome boy.
I will Terrific. Definitely. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks for being with us and sharing your story. And thank you, Dr. Sue, for as always being with the hottest, newest, bestest treatments and medications, and being there for other people to help support them in their quest to live longer and live well. Thank you, Dr. Sue.
Thank you.